Hey, be seated. Hey, good morning. Hey, yeah, all three of you, thanks. Good morning to the rest of you as well, even if you don't want to talk to me. Can we just set a rule that you can talk to me today, okay? So if you want to talk to me, I do, don't I? See, I was thinking. I matched the boxes. Yeah, see, that's how we roll around here. So I should have worn my red shoes, too, and then I would have really matched. But anyway, hey, so thank you so much for being here this morning. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here, and it's so good to have you here with us at URA Community Church. This is a great day. I know it's chilly outside, but I got it warm for you in here. Is anybody cold now? My gosh, I'm about to die up here, okay? So I will be wiping my brow, that's for sure. So thanks, though, for being here. Thanks for getting up and braving the cold weather to come. I think God's got something good for us today. I think that every week, but I just know that this has been one of those weeks where there's been like this barrier, just kind of a wall and between me and God, just trying to come, you know, get where he wanted me to be with the message. And so I just feel like he's got something really good for us here today. So thank you for being here. How's your weekend been? Good? Yeah, good. Yeah, so all three of you had a good weekend. Yeah, so I had a great weekend. Listen, yesterday was really good. My teams won. Carolina pulled out a big win. Yes. So State, now I'm not a Pack fan, but I know we got a bunch. So Wolfpack won. That's a rarity this year, so good for them. So I'm proud of them. Duke lost, and that made my weekend even better. And I'm rolling so far. Listen, even today, the Panthers have a chance to win a ball game. They have one every weekend, though. But hopefully they'll pull one out. I'm pulling for them today. You know, my Cowboys are sitting at home enjoying their 7-3 record and just taking a rest. So getting ready for a big December run this year. That's what I'm praying for. Anyway, So it's been a good weekend so far, and so I hope that continues for all of us today. And so listen, we've been, this is normally where I would say, okay, we're continuing on in our series called Whatever. But as Gabe told us last week and said a little bit ago, we're really not in a series like we would typically do. So we're in a no-series. That's what we want to call it. So we're just talking about some things that God has really kind of laid on our hearts, things that he's helped us to understand maybe about ourselves, things that he's showing us about the church and things like that that we just feel like we just need to say. And so today is just going to be one of those messages where I just feel like I just got to get it out, okay? So it's one that I've had to deal with myself this week, and so I pray that it'll be something that we all get good stuff out of it, because this is kind of our ramp into the Christmas season. Just so you know, guys, it's 39 days, I think, maybe 38, 39 days, guys. So, 39. So, see, I was on the nose. I started running out of fingers and toes, but I got it right. So the thing is, guys, listen, I don't want you in my office the 1st of January for marriage counseling. Go out and get her gift now. I'm warning you. All right. So go take care of that. So you've been warned. But we're heading into Christmas season, and it's going to be a good time. We're excited about what we're going to do. But this is just something that we feel like we need to do right now for where we are. And we're going to talk today about something that I feel like is really important. We all seek purpose in our lives. I mean, whether we're a Christ follower, we've been doing it for years, we're new at that, that we're maybe just here kicking around the whole God thing. We all want some purpose in our lives. And so today we're going to talk about a way that we can find that purpose. Jesus made it very clear to us that our purpose is this, that we love God with everything that we have and we love others as ourselves. He said that was the most important thing we could do. So there's purpose. So we need to love him. We need to find ways to do that. Gabe talked about that last week and how we can trust him for big things and we can follow him as he leads us, and that big things will happen when we follow him because we'll be in his will and in his path of where he wants us to be. And so we need to have that purpose of loving God and loving other people. And that's what we exist for as a church. But we exist to help people develop a love for God, a love for others, and a love for sharing the good news of Jesus. That's why we're here. And everything that we do should funnel through those things, no matter what it is. Whether it seems like the most simplest task, whether it seems like the most daunting thing we could take on, it needs to be able to pass through those things. And that's what we want to do. We want to focus on that. And here's the thing, when we live our lives focused on loving God, loving other people, and telling people about Him, guess what people are going to think about us? Some people are going to think we're crazy. They're going to think we've lost our minds because we're going to have to do some things along that line that aren't going to line up with the normal. All right? And we all know crazy people, don't we? Like we say, you know, she's a little crazy. Right, got that little eye thing, or whatever, or he's a little cray cray because he, you know, he kind of loses it here and there. But we know crazy people, don't we? Like, see, I happen to think, don't judge me. I just happen to think that yard sale people are crazy. All right, there's a reason why they're selling their junk, y'all. And you just go pick it up and take it to your house and add to your junk. I don't get it. You know, my wife Kelly was part of that. God delivered her from being a yard sale crazy person, but she's backslidden to being a consignment person. So please pray for her and our family, because it's kind of every Saturday. Every Saturday, my daughter's like, "Hey, I got some new baby doll clothes." I'm like, "I don't even have new clothes, and her baby doll's getting new clothes." But anyway, so just, you know, there's people that we think are crazy. Some people think that people that go camping are crazy, right? You know, let's go be homeless for a day or two and pay for it, kind of thing. That's kind of how that goes, you know. I have not think they're crazy because, you know, in fact, this Friday night, our men of our church are going to go camping. If you want to go with us, man, you're invited. We're going to go camp at Camp Barnhart. We're going to hang out. We're going to freeze, but that's okay. That's what a fire's for. Marty will huddle up with you if you need it. But we'll stay warm. We'll have a good time. It's BYOM. Bring your own meat on Friday night. And then Saturday it's $5, and we're gonna fix breakfast, but we're gonna have a great time. But people that go camping, you know, people think you're crazy a little bit, okay? So then today, you know, across our country, tens of thousands of people are gonna park in a parking lot, you know, set a grill up outside their car, fix food, you know, freezing as it is, and then they're gonna go into a football stadium, freeze their butts off even more to watch a football game. Some people think that's just crazy. I think it's kind of cool, but you know, unless you're going to Charlotte. But anyway, so some people just think it's cool. I'm picking, y'all. I'm pulling for them today. I really am. I'm just don't get no hate mail, okay? So somebody's going to throw their Christmas shoe box at me or their shoe, one or the other. But the reality is that people think we're crazy when we do the things that God asks us to do. It's just not going to look normal, right? Normal is when we find ourselves in trouble. Normal is when we find ourselves in debt up to our eyeballs. And you know, normal is when we find ourselves in addiction. Normal is when we find ourselves cheating on our wives. Normal is when we find ourselves doing things that we don't need to be a part of. That's normal. But when we follow God, we got to be different than normal. We got to be abnormal in a good way. And people are going to just think we're crazy when we do that. Now, when we're involved in church, when we attend church regularly, when we serve on a ministry team, when we volunteer for special projects like Operation Christmas Child or Community Table, when we do things like that for church, listen, people are going to think we're a little crazy. People are going to say, why do you get there so early on Sunday morning to be a part of that band? Because listen, they get here at 7:45, y'all. They get ready to be able to lead us in worship. Some of them are here before that. Why do you get here so early? That's crazy. Some people are going to wonder why you stay so late sometimes when there's things to be done and you're here decorating the kids' club area during the week and spending your off time doing that. People are going to say, why do you do that? That's crazy. They're going to say, why do you give so much? I mean, you know, why do you do that? Listen, there's a reason why we're crazy. I had somebody the other day say, man, Ron, do you believe that that people should give 10% to the church? I said, no. I think people should give 100% to God. And then the 10% just kind of takes care of its place. So you don't have to worry about adding and doing all the math. You just give it to God and then follow him, and things just, you give what you know you're supposed to give. That's the way that works. Guess what they did when I said that? They looked at me like I was crazy, okay? Because that's the way people look at the way that we do things within the church. Those of you that serve regularly, listen, you know what I'm talking about. And those that don't serve regularly, you know too, because you're the ones that think the ones that do serve are crazy, okay? So we all know what that's like. We think it's crazy to give of ourselves in such a way to follow him. Those of you that serve, I'm sure, at some point, have looked at yourself and just said, am I crazy or what for doing this? The truth is, you're not crazy for doing it. You're not crazy. If you're a follower of Christ, if you say that you want to live out the life that he has for you, that you want to do the things that he asks you to do, that you want to be the person that he wants you to be, then listen, you're going to do some things that are going to seem crazy. You're going to have to step out of the mold. You're going to have to not let that seat begin to fit your butt every Sunday, because you're going to be standing up doing some stuff, okay? That's the way it works. And I know you're like, Ron, man, you sound like you're kind of getting on this kind of hard. No, really, I'm not. I'm getting ready to get on you hard when I start pulling out the scripture, because that's going to begin to teach us why we are to do the things that we're to do, why we're to follow him the way that we're to follow him. Listen, I could give you a pretty message. I could give you the ones that just make you feel so good about yourself. But listen, the reality is we should feel good about ourselves because God loves us unconditionally. But the truth of that is that we mess up and we're broken and we fall away from him, and we need to be able to see those areas and to be able to come to a place of being who he wants us to be. So today, you need to know, if you think you're crazy for serving, it's okay, because you are a little crazy and I'm a little crazy too. That's why the whole title of the message is, if you're crazy, then I am too. That's, you know, if you're crazy, I'm crazy too. Because this, it's a reality of this servanthood that we are to have as a believer in Christ. And maybe you're here today, hey, I don't have that relationship. Well, listen, today we're going to talk about that, and hopefully by the end of today you're going to see that is something that you want for your life. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at an account in the Bible that's going to help us begin to build a foundation for serving God fully. That if we're going to serve him fully, we've got to have a foundation in place to help us do that. And we're going to do that looking at John chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them up. John chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. But then if you have YouVersion Live, it's up. You can pull that up as well. And so we're going to read this together. This is where Jesus performs his very first miracle, where he turned water into wine. And so, you know, I know it's a big debate, and we're not going to get in the whole debate of was it wine, or was it grape juice, or you know, was it the soft stuff or the hard stuff? Listen, I'm just going to tell you, it was wine, all right? You know, we don't have to debate it. It was wine, okay? That's what he did, and we don't need to fight over it, but it's the reality of what it is, and we'll see that in just a second. But as we read into it, but we don't need to get all happy and feel good about certain areas of our lives because of that. Hold on. All right, so here's the thing. So he performs his first miracle. He does this. So let's look at, see what we can pull out of here, because we're not going to look at the wine. We're going to look at the focus of the actions of the people around him. So let's look. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus, now, anytime you see Jesus in the scriptures, if you're a highlighter and all, that's one you should always highlight. I'm just telling you. You should always highlight the name of Jesus because it's really important, okay? So Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom And he said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Man, this is a powerful story, y'all. And we've just looked at it, and we focused on the wine part, right? But there is so much more to this scripture. And I want us to pull that, because we're going to look at five things that are in these scriptures, five things that we need to see and to have to be able to fully serve God the way that he wants us to the point where it seems like we're crazy, okay? So here are the things that we need. The very first thing that we need is an awareness of his presence. You're a note taker, you need to write this down. If you're not a note taker, you need to write this down, okay? Because there's some good stuff here. We need an awareness of his presence if we're going to fully serve him. Have you ever walked into a room where somebody was talking about you and they didn't see you walk in? Some of you have been the one talking and somebody's walked in the room, right? You've been in that place. It happened to me one time. I was a sales manager for a company before I was called into full-time ministry. And I had to travel around to some stores. And I happened to go to one of my stores. They knew I was coming. They just didn't know when I was going to get there. So I happened to walk in the front door while the two employees were in the back room back there talking. And as I walked in, I noticed that I began to hear their conversation. And one of them was having a little conversation about me. And it wasn't very flattering. In fact, it was downright just not good. And so I walked through the door, and see, before that moment, he hadn't been aware of my presence. But now, he was aware of my presence. And let's just say, I'll just be honest with you, I lost my composure for several minutes, all right? Because we worked that out. Because I wanted him to know that while he may not have been aware of my presence, he needed to be now. And he needed to make sure that he knew who I was, and that what he had said was absolutely not true, right? And so if it had been true, I probably would have been okay and just, we'd have probably had to, I'd have dealt with it. But when it's not true, then we had to work that out. You see, the problem was that had he known and been aware of my presence coming in the door, I'm sure he would have acted completely different, right? You've been there, you know how that goes. And so here is this guy, you know, he's done this. He's not aware of my presence, but the thing about Jesus is we need to be aware of his presence. We need to know what and where he is. John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. Okay, the Bible says that Jesus was at the party. Okay, you need to know that Jesus went to parties. All right, so now I'm not encouraging you to go to parties. All right, because I heard the woos, and I've seen your Facebook pictures. You don't need to go to parties, okay? You know what happens there. But Jesus does go to parties. He goes to celebrations. In this day and time, a wedding would have been a week-long celebration. You know, we go to the 30-minute ceremony that we're bored out of our brain, you know, and then we're just waiting for the food to get there. Well, this was a week-long kind of thing. And they celebrated, and they had a great time for a whole week. And Jesus was right there in the middle of it. Now, I don't believe he was living it up. I just believe he was having a good time celebrating, being with his friends and his family. But we need to know that in the church, that this needs to be a celebration as well. That when we come together, we don't need to come together like it's a funeral, right? We'll have those, and we'll respect those when we do. But this should be a celebration. This should be a time we come together and we think about all the cool stuff God's done for us all week long. That we come together and we think about all the things we've learned about him while studying our Bibles together. And the things that we've done and the things that we've seen around us, we should be able to celebrate that. Not come in here and just sit and soak and just wish we were somewhere else. This should be a celebration. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I heard a clap. I heard an amen. Nah, I'm good, okay? Me and you, we're going out after this, y'all, okay? We're going to have a good time. Not in that way. Don't send me an email. But we just have a good time. We should be able to come in, and I should be able to tell my dumb jokes, and you should have to laugh at them, okay? That's the way it should work. This should be a great time because, well, listen, the church is a place of celebrating who God is and all that he's done. Not a place of mourning all the things that we wish we had. It's a place of celebrating what he's done. So we need to make sure that we understand it's okay to celebrate because Jesus shows up at celebrations. He wants us to know that. Here's why we need to know that so much. Because when Jesus is in the house, the potential for the supernatural is unlimited. When Jesus comes into a place, then we need to know that the supernatural is unlimited. The potential there is unlimited. Now, I know that word throws a lot of us off because we watch sci-fi and we watch Ghost Hunters and we talk about the supernatural on there and we talk about witches and sorcerers. Listen, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the one who created natural, who can do a lot more than that. And we should get excited about knowing the one who created the natural and can do much more than that. That's what this is all about, understanding that there's so much more that can happen. And so we need to be able to come in and celebrate that. What if, think about this with me, just imagine, what if those that do volunteer, okay, because some of us do, some of us don't, okay, I get that. But what if the ones that do serve here on you and URE Kids, what if the ones that serve on the Impressions team who welcome you and greet you and serve you coffee and help you find a seat, what if those that serve back in the tech booth and those that are up on the stage, what if just that group got excited about the presence of Jesus being here? What if just that group could get an awareness of him being right in the middle of it? Listen, I'm telling you, that would change the culture of our church. You bunch of Baptists would be half Pentecostal, I'm telling you. You would like get all excited about just being able to be here and not lose control, but be excited about the presence of the one who created everything. Do we grasp that at all? He's the one. And we need to be able to celebrate the fact that he's here right in the middle of who we are. And celebrating the fact that he's done something so amazing for us. Listen, if we want to raise the spiritual temperature of our church, of our own lives, of our community, listen, we've got to become aware of his presence. That he, when we come together and we call on his name, then he is right in the middle of everything that we do. And that's a big deal. We need to be aware of his presence. The second thing we need to have is a desperation for his voice. A desperation for his voice. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I'm just desperate to hear from God. This has been one of those weeks. I told you this has been one of those weeks where there's just been like this barrier, and I'm just like, God, what is it? Why can't I think like you want me to think? Why can't I be where you want me to be? What's up with it? And you know what the barrier was? It's me. And your barrier is you too. Because we don't have a desperation for his voice. And so this week I was able to get to a place where right now I'm just so desperate to hear from him. Not for him to fix any of my messes, not for him to come in and save the day. And listen, he can do that. But what he really wants from us is not us to have a desperate need for him to fix stuff, but a desperate need for him just to be there and talk to us all the time. That's what he wants from us. He wants us to have this desperation for his voice, wanting to hear from him the things that he wants to do in our lives and then being able to do something with that, to let God do great things and big things in our lives. He wants us to hear that from him. Listen to John chapter 2, verse 3. It says, when the wine ran out, you need to know that that was a big problem in this situation. In a time where this week-long celebration, if you ran out of wine, man, you were not a good host. You were an outcast. You weren't worthy, okay? Kind of like your parties that I see on Facebook sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. You didn't even laugh at that one. Man, that must have hit somebody. Gosh, I was joking. Anyway, so the truth is that there's this deal, this situation of understanding that. Because we've put ourselves in a place of needing to hear from him, and this wine has ran out here. The mother of Jesus said to him, "You have no wine." All right, so they have no wine. So Jesus said to her, "Woman," guys, let me just stop for a minute. That is not a way I would recommend you talk to your mom or your wife. I'm just telling you, being out of wine would be the least of your problems, okay? That would not be good. "But woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." I love the way Mary takes charge of the situation. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you." She tells the servants, "Listen, here's Jesus. You just do what he says." Now, you need to understand that the servants hadn't read the book of John yet. They didn't get what was about to happen. They didn't know who Jesus was. He was just this guy that was at the party. Remember, he's not done a miracle yet. He's not done anything to really set himself apart. And she just says to them, "Do whatever he tells you." For some of us in the room today, we need to do whatever he's telling us to do. See, for some of us here, it may be that we need to begin a relationship with him. That we've never done that. See, you need to understand that Jesus came, the reason he was here was to come and pay the price for our sins. Jesus came and he died on a cross, hanging there, paying the penalty for your sin and for my sin, a penalty we couldn't pay. And he died on that cross, making it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins by believing in him, trusting in him, and confessing our sins. We could be forgiven and be restored into a relationship with God. And he died on that cross, he was buried, and on the third day was raised again, so that not only could we have that relationship restored here, but we could have that relationship for all of eternity. That's good stuff. That is what we should celebrate that. That's good stuff. He did that for you and for me. And so for some of us here today, we just need to come, you need to come to a place where you get that. That's the truth. And that's who he is and wants to be for you. For some of us here today, that means that we need to begin to serve. We need to quit coming and sitting and just doing nothing and get busy being part of what he's doing here in your lives and in other people's lives. And that sounds kind of just to the point, but it is. We just need to get busy. There's so many opportunities for all of us to serve here, and you have a place. You're important, and we need to get you plugged in and get you serving. I know there's all kinds of reasons why. I get that. But the reality is what we're called to do. Listen, for some of us here today, it's time for us to put our selfish stuff behind us. Maybe that's an addiction. Something we've just said, you know what, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. I don't care who it hurts. I don't care who it bothers. I'm just going to do it because it's about me. And I'm just going to be honest with you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about any of us. It's about him. He's the one who paid the price, so that we could have the relationship with him. We need to get over ourselves and get to a place where we take on the responsibilities he's called us to. He's called us to be men and women following after him with everything that we have. And I know it's hard. I've been there. I've done that. I know. I know the struggles. I know what it's like every day to struggle. I get that. But the reality is every day we have to make a choice. Do we have a desperation for his voice? And are we aware that he's there? That's what he wants us to know. So we need to find those places. God wants us to hear his voice way more than we want to hear it. See, that's where we get in trouble. Because he wants us to hear it, and we don't want to hear it because he's going to tell us something that's not going to be what we want to hear. It's not going to be what's going to put us in the place that we want to be. And so what we do is we just say, la, 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 when he tries to talk to us. And we don't just do that literally. Obviously, we do that with all the stuff around us. We try to keep ourselves busy so we don't have to hear. He wants to do that. Listen, if we had a church full of people who were desperate for his voice, not only would this place be packed, and I'm not about a packed church. I don't care about a packed church. But what I do know, if this place was packed full of people who were desperate for his voice, that our community would be packed with people who were desperate for his voice. That the community would be completely different around us if we were serious about having a desperation to hear what God wanted us to hear. And he makes that very clear to us. So we need to be willing to do that. There would be a lot less sitting back waiting on somebody to tell us what to do, and there would be a lot more ministry just being done. Listen, you don't have to wait for me or Gabe to send out a message on Facebook or Church Community Builder to go do something. If God's telling you to do it, go do it. Don't be held back by just waiting on the right circumstances or the right person to tell you. Let him tell you, and you go do it. We might even come along and join you and get it done even better. Who's that whistling at me? I mean, I know, but, you know, I do it all the time to myself. I'm just kidding. Anyway, all right, so the reality is that we need to have a desperation for his voice. Let me tell you, when we hear the things that he tells us to do, this is not going to be easy. You show me one time in the Bible where God told somebody to do something that was easy. He didn't tell us to do easy stuff. It was easy, everybody do it. The reality is it's tough stuff. Think about what he told Moses. He told Moses to go take his people out of bondage. Just go do it and go. And, you know, like, okay, what am I going to do? No, it was going to be hard. It wasn't going to be easy. But he told him to go do it. He told Nehemiah, go build that wall back. Nehemiah's like, man, I'm not a contractor. You know, but it was going to be hard, and he was going to have to do it. He told Jonah, listen, you're going to have to go talk to those people that you don't like. He told Paul, listen, those people you've been beating up and killing and all that stuff, you need to go tell them you're one of them now and you need to preach the gospel. It's not easy. Some of us are going to have to overcome some stuff that's not easy. See, it's not easy for us, but it's easy for him. When we allow him to do it, when we hear clearly from him, he'll get it done. And so we need to have an awareness of his presence, a desperation for his voice, and then we need to have a realization of what God has given us. A realization of what God has given us. You ever been late for somewhere? Like you had to be somewhere in a hurry and you're like scrambling around the house looking for your car keys and you're like tearing the place apart, and you know, only to realize finally when you slam your hand down on the counter that they were in your hand the whole time. Yep, done that. You know, or my phone, you know, tear the house, you know, girls, where's my phone? You know, and I'm like looking all over the house. I can't find it. I'm checking my pockets, and then I've got this habit of sticking it in my shirt pocket lately, and I totally forget it's there. So, but it happens, right? And we're thinking we need something. We need our keys so we can leave, right? And the reality is the whole time we had the keys right in our hand. And listen, some of you are thinking, hey, if I'm going to fully serve God, if I'm going to be crazy serving God, then I got to have something else. You know, if I could just sing like the girls on stage, if I could just beat those drums like Noah, you know, back there, if I could just smile pretty like some of the greeters do when we walk in the door, and if I could just make coffee like that, man, I'd be serving God all the time. If I could teach those little kids without pulling their heads off, man, that'd be awesome, you know. Oops, I spoke out of my own head on that one, sorry. No, I'm just kidding. But we think, gosh, if I just had something else, I could serve him better. Listen, we need to quit worrying about what we don't have and focus on what we have. Check this out. John chapter 2, verse 6. Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. 20 or 30 gallons. There's these big water jars sitting there that they used to wash their hands and the rituals that they would have before they would eat and all of that stuff. So these big things of water jars, they're just sitting over there. Things that they see every day. Things that are just average, nothing special about them. But Jesus is about to take them and do something amazing with them. Right? And so we see this thing that we try to figure out all the things that we need to have to be able to serve God. Listen, let me tell you what the greatest vessel there is for God to do something great through. You know what it is? It's you and me. It's us. That's the greatest vessel that he could ever have to do something amazing through. That's what he wants to use is us to do miraculous things in the world that we live in. He wants to do something like that. Listen, some of you are here today and you're like, man, I don't feel worth anything. I don't feel like I have any value in life. You need to know that's not what Jesus said. Because when he's hanging on the cross, he's doing that for you. That's the price he was paying for every single one of us. We're that valuable. We need to know that and understand that about who he wants us to be. We are valuable, and he wants to do great things through us. He wants to take you, me, and he wants to do miracles in our lives and through our lives. Listen, the moment you share the gospel with somebody and they accept Jesus as their Savior, do you realize you were part of somebody going from death to life? What greater miracle is there? I know when Gabe put that on Facebook the other day about what's the greatest miracle, I'm like, man, every time he raised somebody from the dead, That was the greatest miracle, because that's exactly what he did for me. That's what he does for every person who calls on his name. That's great. And we need to be able to celebrate that. And he does that through ordinary jars every time. All right, so we need awareness of his presence. We need to have a desperation for his voice. We need to have a realization of what God has given us. And then we need to have a desire for hard work, a desire to work hard. I know that's a four-letter word, and it's about as dirty as I could say to some of you, but work is the word. We need to be able to do that, have a desire to be willing to work hard. You know, when before I was a sales manager, I sold fitness equipment then, but I used to manage gyms. And I would work out in the gyms, and I know that's hard for some of you to believe. That was about 80 pounds ago, but I'll get back there one of these days. So the reality is I worked out in the gym, and so I would train people and help them get in shape and all that. And I would have people come in, and, you know, and if you haven't figured out, I sweat a little bit, right? And so if you think I sweat a lot here, you should see me when I'm working out, right? And so I'd be in the gym working out, sweat pouring off of me, and people would be like, man, how do you sweat so much? I'm like, well, I work that much, okay? You know, there's a little thing that we have to do is work to really see something happen. And I would have people come in, and they would want me to train them, and they would be like, you know, hey, I'm just not losing any weight. I'm like, well, tell me about your workouts. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm on the treadmill, and I'm walking on the treadmill, and I'm just, you know, nothing's really happening, you know. I'm just walking like this, you know. You know, and I'm like, listen, that's not going to get it. You got to pump that thing up. You got to put a little incline, speed it up, you know, whatever. You're going to have to work harder if you want to see it happen. Because aren't we the kind that we just want to see results happen without doing any of the work? I mean, we want things to change, but we don't want to do anything to see it change. We want relationships to be different, but we don't want to do anything to make our relationships better. You know, we want to overcome hard stuff in our lives, but then we don't want to take the steps necessary to do it. We think, oh, if I just make an attempt at it, oh, well, it'll just happen. Listen, let me just tell you, attempts are good. But if we're not willing to work hard for stuff, we're never going to get to where God wants us to be. I don't care what that is. You can't sit in a chair and overcome an addiction. You can't sit in a chair and overcome a financial hardship. You can't sit in a chair and expect your wife to just love you more. It don't work that way. And we can't expect God to do great things if we're just going to sit around and wait for him to do it. We've got to take some steps. We've got to be willing to work hard. Verse 7 says this, Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it had come from, though the servants had drawn the water. So the servants who had drawn the water knew. All right, you need to know these big things of water, they had to fill those things up physically. Like, they couldn't go to the spigot, turn it on, and walk over with a water hose. You know, they couldn't do that. No, they either had to carry buckets back and forth, they had to pick these huge things up, carry them to the water source, and do it. It's believed that would have taken them 1 to 2 hours to fill up these water jars for Jesus. I mean, this wasn't like an instant thing that just happened. It took work. And these guys were just willing. They were just hearing him and do whatever he says. And they did all this work not knowing for what reason they would do it. They just knew Jesus' mama said, do whatever he says. Right? And so they were willing to do the hard work not knowing what the results would be. And some of us need to be willing to do some hard work, not worried about what the results will be, just willing to trust him to do what he says he'll do. Sometimes we're going to have to do some things that just seem crazy to see some miracles happen. We're going to have to step up and do it. So they fill these things up. They draw some out. They take it to the master of the feast. Listen, they didn't pull it up and taste it a little bit. They didn't say that. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd have been like, you know, just to make sure before I went to the master, because, you know, who knows what he would do, throw him in jail, you know, whatever, have him flogged. No, they just says they did it, and they took it to him, and he tasted it. And he recognized what was going on. Something big had happened. That there was something about this that was better than before. And listen, we need to understand that when Jesus asks us to do stuff and we just go and do it, we need to trust him to do the things that he said he would do. Do you know who got to experience the miracle of this story? Who do you think got the benefit of the miracle? Well, sort of. Yeah, the servants did. Well, why do you think that? Because they're the ones that knew it was a miracle. Listen, the guy drinking the wine, he's like, he just thinks the guy's been holding out on him, right? You know, he just thinks the guy's been holding out. But no. The workers knew that something miraculous, they knew they had filled him with water. They knew that that's what they had put in there, but they knew when they drew something out, it was completely different and a miracle had taken place. When do you think the miracle took place? So when do you think the water became wine? Oh, when? When did he say it? Did he say it? I mean, I'm just saying. No. We don't know. That's the answer. See, sometimes it's D, none of the above, okay? You can say that. It's okay. But the reality is we don't know. But here's what we do know. That it happened sometime between when these guys listened to Jesus and when they did the work that Jesus told them to do. Now think about that for a minute. Does it matter when the miracle happens? It just needs to happen, right? It just needs to be, it doesn't matter when. It just means that we need to listen to him and do what he says and allow him to be the one that brings the miracle. Some of us need to just relax and listen to what he says and do it and allow the things to happen the way that he wants them to happen. We need to be willing to work through it, to take the steps that he tells us to take. Verse 10 says, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. He says, listen, everybody brings out the good stuff till you get them good and drunk, and then they bring out the cheap stuff, right? So that's what he's saying to him, but you have kept the good wine until now. Meaning that this is the best, is what some translations say, that the best was brought out now, okay? We need to understand that the best, I believe, is yet to come for so many of us in here. Some of us are facing some very difficult situations in our lives. And they're all spectrums of what we could talk about in here. But we're facing some very difficult things, and what we need to know is that we need to know that the best is yet to come, because God wants to do something in our lives that is beyond what we could do. It's the supernatural. And if we're going to see the supernatural happen, we got to do the natural and let him do the super. And we got to let him be the one who brings those things. I believe the best is yet to come for so many of you. The best is yet to come for our church, and the best is yet to come for this community, because there are churches who are bonding together to be ready to do what he says. And listen, you get the choice to be part of it. So I want to encourage you, wherever you are in your relationship with him, it's time to have an awareness of his presence. and a desperation for his voice. So to realize what he's given you, that you already have everything that you need to do the things that he wants you to do. And then to be willing to work hard. You see, when we put all that together, when we are willing to be at that place, to allow God to do something so that we, as we fully serve him, then here's what we get last. And it's the best. A desire for people to see him clearly. A desire for people to see him clearly. When we are aware that he's the one who's here and does it, when we are desperate to hear him tell us what to do and how to live our lives, when we're at a place that we realize that he's gifted us so much to be able to do those things, and we're willing to get in there and roll our sleeves up and work hard, then we couple that with a desire to have people see him clearly, then let me tell you, he does amazing things. See, when people see Jesus clearly through us living out the life that we're to have, when they see him clearly through us, then they follow him closely. Let me say that again. When people see Jesus through us clearly, they follow him more closely. And that's what we are to be part of. To be vessels that he does miracles through so that people are drawn to him and follow him more closely. That's why the church exists. Yeah, it's here to make us feel better sometimes and to help us get through some stuff. It's not really the church that does. It's him using the church. But the reality is that he wants to do miraculous things through every single one of us every single day. Whether it's just being the vessel that the gospel flows through, whether it's to be the encouragement that somebody else gets, whether it's to be the one that just opens themselves up and says, you know what, I'll go. Listen, I registered yesterday to go to Kenya in February with Compassion International. You know what, I'm scared to death. I ain't wanting to bring up no Ebola back up in here. You know what I'm saying? That was your Madea reference. But the truth is, you know what? He's bigger than that. If that's what it takes for me to go tell somebody about Jesus, then I'm gonna go. And I'm not no superhero. I don't even have good English, okay? I just want to be able to be used by him. And so I heard his voice. I was listening. And I was trying to back out. I was trying to find every way not to go. You know, even my 11-year-old said, Daddy, please don't go. I'm going. Because I know that's what I'm supposed to do. And so I don't know what that is for you. That doesn't mean you have to fly across an ocean and all that stuff. But for you, that might mean that, you know what, that person that's just next to you at work, you might just need to tell them about what God's doing in your life so they may need to hear that for their own life. Maybe you just need to come to a place where you just need to open your Bible. All he's telling you to do is open it up and read it. I don't know what it is for you, but I do know this. When we're aware of his presence, when we have that desperation for his voice, when we realize he's given us what we need to do, what he wants us to do, when we are willing to work hard and to have a desire for people to see Jesus more clearly, listen, I know that we become exactly who he wants us to be, and we put ourselves where we need to be. And if you want to see people follow Jesus more closely, then you're going to have to make some choices in your life. Are you going to fully serve him? Or are you just going to do things the way that you've always done it and the way that just suits you the best? You're going to have to make a choice. And I can tell you, if you choose the latter of that, then you're going to miss out on being the vessel that the miracle flows through. Let's pray together. God, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to be all that you want us to be, God, to be in this place, to hear the word that comes from your message. God, I pray that today as we focus on what it is that you want us to do in this time, that God, you'd allow us to hear your voice distinctly. Not to hear my voice, not to hear anybody else's voice, but to hear your voice clearly. God, today there's some that need to make a decision to follow you for the very first time, to accept forgiveness of their sins and to acknowledge that your son Jesus died on the cross, paying the price for that sin. and that through his death they are able to ask forgiveness and be forgiven. God, that through his resurrection that forgiveness not only lasts here but all of eternity. God, for some it's time to step up and say, how can I serve today? How can I serve you better, God? For some, it's time to say, you know what, God, I've got to get this out of my life. I've got to do it because I know it's not what you want for me, and it's holding me back from being who you want me to be. So help me, God. Help me to do that. God, today there's decisions for all of us. Do we take a step closer to you, or do we just stay where we are? God, as the band plays, may you open our hearts. May you break down the barriers that hold us back from you. God, if people need to come forward and pray, then may they do that. If they need to stay in their seat and pray, may they do that. God, if they need to talk to me or Gay, may they come talk to us and you be the words that give us the words that come out to minister to them, God. I pray in these moments that it's you that moves. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.